You're listening to Invited In with Christine Boyle, where disability and faith meet. Here's your host, Christine Boyle. You are invited in.
Hey guys, well, thank you so much for joining me today. I am so happy to be back with you. I am recording from Studio Court, and I have a friend of mine. He's a newer friend of mine, but his name is Scott Habib, and he is joining us today. Scott, thank you so much for joining and being a part of Invited In today. I'm so glad to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm honored to be here. I've listened to a few of your podcasts. You do a good job, so I'm looking forward to being part of a conversation with you.
Awesome. So just to give you guys a little introduction about Scott, I'll first start off by saying him and I got introduced by a couple mutual friends, right?
Right.
He has a longtime connection to Young Life Capernaum. And so we did a Zoom call a couple months ago, got to know each other. And then we were just at Disability in the Church in Orlando together. Yeah. And I have to just say, I just love him and his wife, and they were like two of my most favorite people I met that weekend, and just loved getting to spend time with them, laughed a lot with them, had a lot of sweet conversations about disability and our friends with disabilities, and it was just such an encouragement to be with you guys, and we ate a lot of good food together, so that was awesome. We have a shared love for Disney, so you guys are kind of my people,
man. Yeah.
I came home and I was like, told Dan, I was like, we have new best friends. I love them. So it was so fun to get to be with you. And so I'm super pumped because I just can't wait for people to get to hear from you. You have such an amazing heart for, again, our friends with disabilities and all the amazing things that you're doing. But I know you're in Virginia, Salem, Virginia, and you are an educator, which is awesome. So I wrote down what you said because I would never remember this.
That's right.
So Scott is the coordinator of alternative and online programs in his school district.
Whatever that is, right?
Sounds so important.
No, it's not.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm sure your listeners, like they know you, right? But like if you all have never been to a Disney thing with Christine, like you're missing out, right? So you set us up with the best, coolest restaurant. I got to tell y'all, not only was the food great, this was in Disney Springs, which I have never eaten a dinner in Disney Springs, I don't think. But anyway, at the end of this great dinner, and maybe I just sound really uncultured when I'm shocked by this. Maybe I'm not, you know, highfalutin like some people, but they brought us wet, like hot, damp towels, right? With like lemon juice, you could squirt on it. It was the best feeling. I just put them in my face. I don't think you were supposed to do that, but that was wonderful. So if you all have never hung out with Christine in Disney, you get treated like royalty when you're with her. So yeah, we had a good time.
And what was his name? Dylan? Our waiter was Dylan.
I don't remember his name, but he was good. Yeah, he knew his.
He was good. I'm definitely asking for him next time. It was the Boathouse too. So
Boathouse.
One of the best restaurants in Disney Springs. Yes.
Well, thank you for introducing us.
Super fun. Yes. Okay. So real quick, I think this is super important. Totally not about disability. Okay. Totally not about faith.
Okay.
But you have to tell the story real quick of driving to Disney World for a sandwich, because that was when I was like, okay, seriously, these people have to be my friends forever. So just tell that story because it's awesome. It's amazing.
Right. So I'm a father of four. At the time, I think I was a father of two. And, you know, I mean, I'm an okay dad, but like, I don't feel like I get a lot of dad wins. Like my wife, Hot Julie, she gets a lot of mom wins because she's amazing. And I just, like, I'm sort of riding her coattails. But this was my greatest dad win. And I just wish all four of my kids could have experienced it. So I don't have to just brag about it to the two that weren't born yet. But so we went to Disney World and I went up to get my sandwich or food from the counter, and somebody returned a sandwich that wasn't theirs. They said, this wasn't ours. So it sat there and I looked at it. And it was so, like, it just looked the best. It was called the Italian Stack. It had all these meats and, you know, sauce and marinara and onions and stuff. And so I asked the person behind the counter if I could have that sandwich. And the lady's like, no, it's a health code. And so I just kept begging her. She kept telling me no. And I finally asked her, like, what are you going to do with this sandwich? And she said, I'm going to put it in the trash. And I said, could you do me a favor and set it like on top of the trash, turn your back, you know, and then let me come and take it, you know? And she's like, she just finally said, take the sandwich. So, I took the sandwich and it was the best thing I'd ever eaten. So I go back and I eat the sandwich. So then that's a year later. Okay. It's Easter Sunday. My family is at Fuddruckers after church and it's about 1 o'clock and I'm eating like a burger, but I'm thinking about the Italian stack. And I said to my family, I want that sandwich. Let's go get that sandwich. And they of course think I'm just going crazy that I'm, you know, but let's get in the car and go. So we went home, we packed some clothes, we got in the car. We had one cell phone. This was back in the days when everyone had cell phones and nothing like the internet on the phone, right? So we call my brother. He goes on to Priceline.com. Remember that with William Shatner? And he like gets us a hotel.
Yes.
So we get down there at like 3 a.m. We fall asleep. We wake up around, 10 o'clock, go straight to Disney, go right in lunchtime. I go get 2 Italian stack sandwiches. Ate them both.
Stop.
Spent the next day at Disney, and then drove home. And so my dad moment was I drove to Disney with the family because I was hungry for the Italian stack.
For a sandwich.
That's right. Yeah, and it was worth every bite.
That's awesome. Oh, I love that.
But I've never done it since. I don't like, my wife would say I'm not the most spontaneous guy. So I hang on to that really tightly
I think that's awesome. I think that's absolutely amazing. I love that story. That's one of the greatest stories I've ever heard, truly. So yeah, love that. So you guys love Disney. Yeah. You're a dad. How many kids do you have then now?
Yeah, we have 4 kids. We have 2 grandkids. Our kids range in age. Well, our kids are 15, 21, 26, and 29. Going down, it's a girl, 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 boy. And then we have my oldest, she married her middle school sweetheart and then high school.
Wow.
And they did not get married in middle school. Let me just clarify that. But
yes.
They have 2 kids. So we have a 6-year-old grandson named Beckett, and we have a 4-year-old granddaughter named Jane. So, and everyone's right here in the Roanoke Valley of Virginia, which is a great place, especially when you have family. And so, yeah. And then my wife and I have been married. This is our 30th anniversary. We're really excited about that. It's a big year for us. Been married for a long time and great family. Love it.
Yes. Oh, I love that. And if you guys didn't pick up on it, yes, he calls his wife Hot Julie, which I just think is hilarious.
Her name.
And awesome. And totally catches people off guard. At first I was like, wait, what did he say? But I love that. It's so sweet.
Yeah, that's her name. I mean, she's something else. She's great.
I
and she's just sort of like a pistol, and she's, fun, and she's a great mom and a phenomenal. Her grandmother's name is Juju, and our grandkids think Juju walks on water, and I do too. So.
Oh, I love that. Well, tell us, just kind of about maybe I know Capernaum mm-hmm. is what kind of led you to starting Masterpiece Alliance. So wherever you think you should start from to kind of give us that history and how you just started to have a love for people with disabilities too. Mm-hmm. I mean, wherever you want to start, I would love to hear your story and your beginnings with our friends with disabilities.
Isn't it true that when we look back on our stories, we see God and we just realize how much bigger he is than us? He's writing such a much better story.
Yes.
And I think our job is to kind of cheer. This is funny. I'm getting a call from one of my best friends from Masterpiece Alliance, Jack, right now. I wish I could answer the phone and reach out to Jack. He's so great. God is writing these stories, and we get to cheer the kingdom on and just sort of go where it leads. And so often we don't know what we're doing. So we never set out to start a nonprofit, which is what Masterpiece is. But we do want to follow God, and we believe he's writing a good story and that he intends us to live a story. And really, for my family, a big point really is, I don't know if you've ever read or any of your listeners have read Donald Miller's A Million Miles in 1,000 Years. It's become our family life book. A Million Miles in 1,000 Years, go read it. But it's basically the premise of the idea is we were created to live these great stories, kind of the way a movie is a great story. There's sort of a formula that makes that work. And not that life is really formulaic, but there are things that make a great story. And so about 15 years ago or so, our family just really caught on this idea of let's live a great story. And it was really simultaneously that God started taking us on a pretty cool journey that now we look back on and we really see it. We didn't necessarily know that was happening. But anyway, to get to the answer to your question,
sure.
My daughter, who's 29, when she was 15, I was listening to that book and it was talking about a dad kind of helping his family live a good story. A friend of ours named Stafford Kramer, who's on longtime Young Life staff and Capernaum guy. He's in Virginia Beach now. Stafford calls me in the car where I'm listening to it. We're talking about Capernaum Camp, and it just hit me like, what a great story it would be for my 15-year-old daughter to go to Capernaum camp. I didn't know much about Capernaum. I've been involved with Young Life for over 35 years, but didn't know a lot about Capernaum yet. We just started it in our area.
So real quick, were you a Young Life kid?
Oh, I was a Young Life kid. Young Life kid in my high school, my freshman year of high school, Young Life started. And really all of my friends, you just about came to know Christ through Young Life when I was in high school. My wife and I went to high school together.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Life college leader, adult leader, committee, wildlife leader. I've done it all kind of. And so Caitlin goes to Capernaum camp. She's a buddy with this person who's one of our best friends now. And this young lady, she got really sick that night. She threw up on herself. She gets kind of excited and emotional, and she had thrown up. And so it turns out my Caitlin spent her first night bathing this friend of hers now. And she was sick throughout the whole night. And that was my daughter's best time ever at a Young Life camp. And she'd been to Wildlife and High School Young Life. And so we were like, we got to check out Capernaum. And so we went to the next Capernaum Club that fall. And you know this, a lot of your listeners do, but I walked into Capernaum Club. I was like, these are my people. And God really did that. I was just at home. I've never left Capernaum Club now. And that's been about 15 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
love that.
So Capernaum was a great journey. We have our 26-year-old daughter's on the autism spectrum. So we've lived as parents the journey of, raising someone who has a disability. Although I will say we have four kids, they have all sorts of abilities and they're all hard to raise. So, there is no such thing as an easy job parenting, I don't think. And then also I've been a high school administrator, high school educator for 27 years. And I watch kids graduate high school, like the age of 22, they stop receiving services then and have nothing to go to, just nothing. Then I watch Capernaum needing to graduate Capernaum students as they got older and really just nothing for them to go to. And then I have an adult daughter who's, she's phenomenal. She is an instructional assistant at one of the elementary schools. She is the best person in the world to work with little kids. She's a ropes course operator at Rockbridge Young Life Camp up in here in Virginia, not far from us. She can do so many things, but she doesn't have a great community of folks her age. And so we sort of watched that and said, we got to do something about it. And that's where the idea for Masterpiece Alliance came from.
Yeah. So tell us about Masterpiece Alliance then. What does that look like? What ages are you serving? And even just kind of the journey of starting it. Yeah. I mean, you don't just dream that up and it doesn't just happen the next day. I know there's a lot of hard work that you have put into that and fundraising and all of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, just share all about that.
Well, it was in 2018 and my wife and I, we had our daughter, our oldest, had always had this idea of maybe doing a coffee shop or something where employed folks with disabilities or something for adults with disabilities. This idea of something, and if you can't see me, I'm doing air quotes, but something for adults with disabilities had been sort of in our family for a while. And in 2018, I said to my wife, let's do something. But we didn't know what we're going to do. But what we did do, and if anybody's looking out there to do something, here's a great way to start, is we just invited some friends to dinner. Four other couples came to dinner and we said, here's a reality. Adults with disabilities, people with disabilities, but particular adults above the age of 22 with intellectual or developmental disabilities, they tend to live life very isolated. And we don't think that's good. So let's do something about it. We didn't know what we're going to do, but those folks said, all right, we're on board. Yeah. Like we'll go on a journey with you guys. So we just invited them on a journey, So we started researching and looking around and seeing what folks were doing and thought about a lot of different ways to address the needs of adults with disabilities, from providing services to work and employment to living situations. And we visited a place in Durham, North Carolina, called Reality Ministries. And the director of Reality Ministries said to us, do you want some advice? And we're like, that's why we came here, of course. And she said, all those things are great, right? Like jobs, and these are important stuff and living, but what everybody needs is a community. Her advice was start with a community. And so that resonated. So we said, all right, that's what we'll do. We don't know how we'll do it, but let's start a community. So that was really the impetus for what has become just a really beautiful community of adults with disabilities and all sorts of abilities here in the Roanoke Valley.
So what ages then are you serving and working on?
We really focus on ages of 22 and up. And so what we, I guess I haven't said what we do really, but what we ended up just unfolding looks a lot like Capernaum in some ways for adults. We ended up hiring a staff person. Her name's KJ. She's just wonderful. We hired her. COVID sort of put a little, you know, crimp in our style there. So it's kind of nothing happened for a while. But we hired KJ in August of 2022. And we interviewed her for a job that we didn't know what it was. And she gave answers for a question that she didn't know for questions that, you know, her job that didn't exist. But she's been really good at building a plane in the air. And we just pretty much told her once we hired her, go where the adults with disabilities are and start building relationships. And that has blown up into, so back up for a moment. So the reality is adults tend to be, folks with disabilities tend to be isolated. And so our vision, which your vision is your preferred reality. So our vision statement is that no adult or their family or person with disabilities would live life isolated. And so we've, one of our missions to get to there, one of our first things is we wanted to make sure Capernaum was really strong here. So we raised money to make sure that our area could have a full-time Capernaum staff person. So that kind of, in our mind, takes care of the adolescents. And we continue to support Capernaum. And then next mission is let's start a community. So we started inviting people to what we call MA Club, Masterpiece Alliance Club. And it is a, it looks a lot like Capernaum. It feels different because it is adults. And we have folks from age 20, 21, 22, up to 70.
Wow.
I think is our current oldest friend. And we used the phrase at first, creating community for friends with disabilities.
Yes.
But we real quickly switched it to creating community for friends of all abilities. Because what's happened is we're not really doing something for people with disabilities. We're doing something with, like, these are my people. These are our people. This is a community. So we do now, we've grown. We have two additional people on staff, two staff associates, Cindy and Silas. They plan at least one big event a week. So we have MA Club every other week. And then we go to baseball games, or we go to hockey or movies or bowling, or, you know, we're going fishing with this group that does outdoor stuff. We're going fishing in July and just all sorts of neat events. And we've built a community, and it is like it. I don't know. There's no better way to describe it than just a great, big, beautiful community. And those are our planned events. But then from that are much more organic things happening and just friends being together and doing things that lots that we would take for granted and most people probably take for granted. But when a 25-year-old with intellectual disabilities helps another 25-year-old move and then a group of them go get pizza together, like that's huge in the life of an adult with intellectual or developmental disabilities.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. So it's like, so what you're describing, like you're saying, is very similar to Capernaum, where it is this outreach. Like, so you guys have stepped into the world of disability, found these friends, it sounds like these are not, this isn't a adult group at a church. Like, you guys went out into the community and met these friends, right? And and I'm sure you're getting the graduates then, though, also from Capernaum. Is that right?
Yeah, that was our starting point. Like, we told KJ, hey, our Capernaum has like 35-year-olds in it. So, like, which is pretty common across the country. So we said, just start hanging out with these people first, you know, then maybe go to Special Olympics or, you know, go. There are several different things that happen in our valley, right? So go get to know folks. But it's just blown up. I mean, when we get together for an MA club, a small one will have 50, 55 people, but it's more common to have 60, 65, 70 of folks with all different types of abilities and disabilities there, because the word is out. Like, I mean, every day someone will email us, call us, Facebook message us, tell a friend to reach out to us and say, how does my adult child get to this? Like, how does my brother sign up for this? Like, do you have to pay? What do you have to, you know? And so, I mean, the need is so huge. It is unbelievably huge. And so it's just snowballing, you know?
Yeah. That's so awesome. And I mean, just so you guys know, like, you can follow Masterpiece Alliance on Instagram, on Facebook. I follow them. And I mean, you guys are always looking like you're having a blast, and it does. It makes me think so much of Capernaum and just the fun and the true authentic relationships that you build with these friends, that it's not this program, it's actual true community. And so I would just encourage you guys to definitely find Masterpiece Alliance on Instagram, Facebook, follow their journey, see the amazing things that they're doing, and just this awesome community that's being built. I mean, you can tell you guys definitely have a blast together. So what about like the spiritual side of it? Like, I know you guys are doing a lot of fun events and things like that. What is the discipleship piece and kind of walking alongside these friends and their faith journeys look like?
Yeah, so we draw our name, Masterpiece Alliance, from the New Living Translation version of Ephesians 2:10, where it says, "For we are God's masterpiece." And so that's really the inspiration for our whole outlook. So one, "For we are God's masterpieces" tells us, A, most importantly, we have a creator. Like, we are not God. There is a God. Yep. He's a creator. But we are his most special, beautiful creations. And there are no mistakes. Like, we are all God's masterpieces. Okay. And then the next piece is really key, right? We're created anew in Christ Jesus. So we're kind of like masterpieces that need the right frame and the right lighting. And we're not by ourselves. We're not there, right? We are made whole and the way we are to be in Christ. And so we believe that wholeheartedly. But then the next word is just really, really important to us. The next word is the word "so." "For we are God's masterpieces, created new in Christ Jesus." So there's a purpose for why we're created and why we're created new in Christ. It's so we can do the good works that he planned for us long ago. So there's a reason. And so we believe that applies to all of us, like all of God's masterpieces. Yeah. And so we want to build a community because we don't want anyone to be isolated, but we also want folks to know the truth of Ephesians 2:10 and all of scripture for their lives. And so, discipleship is a big part. And what that kind of means for us is not only teaching our friends who God is, mm-hmm. but then also helping them find the purposes that they were created for, mm-hmm. because we were all created to be image bearers, right? We were all created to carry the image and the kingdom of God and be on mission for his kingdom and applaud his kingdom and to go where his kingdom's going and be part of that mission. And so we want to help our friends do that. So just like a quick example. So first of all, at our MA clubs, we always have a little talk like you would at a Young Life club. And we've been going through "God is blank." And we just fill in the blanks with who God is.
Okay.
And a lot of our friends give talks. This is one of the coolest things is we have our friends with disabilities who also help share with their friends the blank, "God is blank." And that's been really cool. And KJ and our staff will meet with them and kind of coach them and their perspectives of where they've seen God in their lives and then share it up with their friends. And then we've partnered with some churches that have some Bible studies and so forth and taking our friends to these different types of outreaches and Bible studies. And then we give them chances to serve. So a great example is there's a rescue mission, a homeless rescue mission here in the Roanoke Valley.
Yeah.
And our friends, we put on a New Year's Eve party for them. Aww. So on New Year's Eve, not midnight, we did it like, I think 6 p.m. or something like that. But we did it. Like it wasn't like they had a party and we joined them. We did the party. Our friends ran the different booths. Like you had a photo booth and you had like a food snack place and there was a game section and there was karaoke and all these different set places around the rescue mission. And that was Masterpiece Alliance community running that. And it was beautiful.
I love that.
And so that's just one example, right, of what we're trying to do of getting our friends to say, like, you're God's masterpiece. You need Jesus to be fulfilled. And then he's going to do something with you. You have a purpose.
Yes. Yes. It's kind of, I don't know if you feel this way, but we try to have a heavy emphasis on service for our friends in Capernaum, in our area, a lot too. And I think it's the mom in me that just sees that our friends are given a lot. You know,
right.
We have our special needs proms. We have, you know, this event and that event. And I think, like, you know, for me, it's like, I want these kids to understand they have gifts to give and to serve others and things that are just unique to them. And so so I feel like that's really unique in the world of disability when you're encouraging them to be out in the world and using their God-given gifts to serve others. I mean, that's just not something you see very often. You know, it's either usually employment or maybe nothing, but to actually learn to serve others, I think that's such a cool thing to be teaching them and having them working at. And I'm sure they love it. Do they? I mean, would you say?
Yeah. Oh gosh. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I guess the thing is, and maybe you're right. Maybe it is unusual, but it shouldn't be,
it
right?
Because
it's either unusual. If it doesn't happen, it either happens because we maybe don't think folks with disabilities have something to give, which that sure flies in the face of everything we read in scripture and in 1 Corinthians with the parts of the body, with Ephesians 2:10, we're all masterpieces and why we're created new. So it either flies in the face of scripture, or it means we don't really believe folks have that potential, or it means like we somehow settle for a lesser view of following God, which is like, I'm saved, check that off. I go to church, check. Now we're good. Just try not to sin.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we weren't, Jesus didn't say like, hey guys, come on with me and let's try not to sin. It was like, come on with me. We're going to do something.
Yes.
That was always, right? Isn't that always the story? It's always come with me. And specifically, really, or generally, maybe I should say, it's going, when Jesus says, come with me, let's do something, it's going to people who live in life's margins and erasing the margins and inviting them into community, whether it's, you know, at that time, women or people from a different ethnic group, a different country, whether it's people from even different religious background, people who are poor, people who are disabled, people who are ceremonially unclean. Whatever people who were sinners, they were prostitutes, they were outcasts. We forget sometimes Jesus was called the friend of sinners, right? So the Jesus model is come along with me. Let's go to the margins. Let's erase the margins and invite people in. And so, you know, I think if we don't do that, it's like we're settling for a real small version of Jesus of just, you know, let's make sure our kids behave and our kids get good grades and we have good pictures of them to put on Instagram when they win championships. And you know, so the same thing for what our faith, my faith and your faith should be about, which is living a life on mission, giving your life away.
Yep.
You know, Jesus says no greater love is man than this, right?
Yep.
So you just lay down your life. So we're designed to lay down our lives. So are our friends with disabilities. And so we want to take them on that kind of journey. And we want to help the church. It's something that we haven't mentioned, but, you know, we started this church network as well.
Yes. Yes. I love this. Tell us all about
that. Yeah. Well, and it actually, a little plug for the Disability in the Church Conference. You mentioned that, you know, we met there in person last month or earlier this month. But if you haven't gone to that conference, listeners, you ought to check it out.
Oh.
So in 2023, it was in Cleveland. And I think Cleveland's probably great. This past year it was in Orlando. And I got to say, there's a little, you know, plus to Orlando, but you know, Cleveland's great too, I'm sure. But I didn't go to Cleveland. We sent our staff and a couple of volunteers to Cleveland and they came back just jazzed up. They were fired up. They had taken like notebooks full of notes and all these sessions. And so we were sitting around my kitchen table and this would have been probably April or May of 2023. I get my years confused as I get older here. But, and as they were just like, just spewing out all this stuff they learned. KJ, who's now our director of ministry, she said something to the effect of, Masterpiece Alliance will never meet the needs of every adult with disabilities in our valley, but there are a whole lot of churches. And that just hit hard. And so the second part of our mission, remember our vision is that folks will not be in isolation. And the first part of our mission is to create a community. And that includes making sure Capernaum exists. And then the second part of our mission is to support and equip the local church to create spaces of belonging and meaningful kingdom roles for friends with disabilities and their families. Mm-hmm. So what we did is last summer, and some listeners, you might consider this in your community. I just started inviting churches and I would tell pastors or whoever I could talk to, like, we don't want you to pay any money. We don't want you to, like, you're not being asked to do anything. We're going to invite you to a lunch. And so we had a luncheon in September and every other month. So September, November, I can't do my months here, January, March. And we just had our last luncheon this past week in May. And we would invite them to lunches and we would bring in different speakers and different folks to just share a big picture of what it could look like if the church kind of woke up. And the reality is if you just start talking to church folks, they are probably unaware of all the things that your listeners heard Ryan Wolf talk about, right?
Yes,
I heard your podcast with Ryan.
Yep.
All the how low at what a low rate folks with disabilities will attend church and the prevalence of disabilities. And so we want to take them on that kind of journey. And so we have about, I think we've had 27 churches participate.
Wow.
60 some folks all together from those churches, sometimes pastors, sometimes lay people, sometimes children's ministers, whoever they choose to send. And we've gone through a journey over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8 months, however long it's been now, of just really exploring the world of disabilities and the church and growing in our ability to serve folks and to get them both in the church, but then also to find them their kingdom roles. Like we've told people, this is not just about recruiting folks to church or just caring for needs, although those are good things.
Sure.
It's about making sure that people know they belong. Yeah. And then what is their kingdom role? What's their Ephesians 2:10? So yeah. What is the thing that God's created them to do? And how can the church awaken that? And our last week, we had our final luncheon before the summer. We're going to break for the summer and start back up in the fall. But we had people sharing stories, and they were just really, really encouraging. You know, there was one of the things we encourage folks to do is to get to know who the people with disabilities are in your church, who's already there, what are their needs, their strengths, their passions.
Yeah.
In one church, happened to my church, I was really proud of them for this, but they did this little survey that we gave them, and they found there's a guy in our church who's on the autism spectrum. He's in his 20s, really great, great guy, and he's passionate about playing the drums. And then I think it's called the cajon, the little box that, you know, people will sit on and beat on the drum. You know?
Yeah.
So I guess our church needed a new cajon player, and they were like, wait, and they went back and he likes the cajons, right? So they went and asked him. And so he started playing with our worship band, and, you know, his mom's in tears watching her awesome son.
Yes.
So the living their purpose within the church. Right. So those sort of stories were shared around our valley of churches who are just sort of kind of waking up, you know?
Yes. Yes. I love that. And I know we talked a lot about that at Disability in the Church, you and I, because, you know, my takeaway sitting in Scott did a workshop at Disability in the Church and just shared about Masterpiece Alliance, but then also this church network. And, you know, I sat there listening to you, and, you know, I have this deep passion for, we've seen where the church is failing and how it needs to be different. And there's, you know, a pain to that. There's a grief over that. But then what Disability in the Church did for me and what you did was just show me, this is how you can create change. And it just, and again, I think I said this to you, I don't want this to sound simple because I know you've put probably so much hard work into this, but it really doesn't seem terribly hard to invite churches in and to give them some disability education and just create, like you're saying, just some awareness. And so I know I left that conference going, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this in the Cleveland area in the fall. I'm going to pick your brain to do it. I'm like, you're doing it. You're doing it well. Yep. I don't need to reinvent the wheel, but I'm super pumped about that because I do feel like, you know, that is the root of the issue is it that we have bad theology? Is it that we just don't have eyes to see? Is it that we just don't even know the people in our churches that have disabilities? What is the holdup? But with the right education, we can break down those barriers, right? So, I mean, I guess like maybe just share a little bit about that. Like, I know, again, we talked a lot about the church and how we need the church to be places of belonging for our friends. And so, you know, maybe just share like your passion for that and how you're seeing churches respond. I mean, I know you gave that example, but like, were churches hesitant at first? Did they come willingly? Like, did you have to follow up a gazillion times? Like, what did that look like?
So I can be kind of a pest, you know, like if I ever, and you know, actually I should say this, like, I want to make sure I say this right. Like, I kind of feel all the successes that Masterpiece Alliance have had, it has been truly for me a refreshing and fun opportunity to see God just do things and me get to go along for the ride. And that's not normal for Scott. All right. Scott is a go-getter. Like, I have a lot of energy. Like, I think I know how things should work. Yeah. And I'm not dumb. Like, I have pretty good ideas typically. Like, they're not always perfect, but I have good ideas.
Yeah.
And I can formulate plans and be an organizational leader and so forth. And my wife is very important for me for a lot of reasons. And one is that It's not that she's afraid to move forward. She's just wise enough to know that you shouldn't always be a bull in a china shop. And I'm often that way. So when we started Masterpiece Alliance, she was kind of like, Scott, you might be going faster than you're ready to. And I said to her, I promise I won't go any faster than God or Hot Julie allow, you know. Yes. And I listened to her, and God speaks to me through her. And so, again, it's not that she doesn't want to move forward. It's just that I can be reckless. And so this whole journey has been me showing unusual restraint, like not typical. I'm not a typically restrained person. And then God just does things. So like in terms of bringing these churches together, like we thought about it and it just seems so right. Like when KJ shared this idea about the awakening the church, like it just was the voice of God. It was the Holy Spirit right in that moment. We knew this is it. This is the thing. Yeah. It wasn't anything I planned. So when we started Masterpiece Alliance, I never thought about a church network. It wasn't even on my radar until that moment. So it was not my idea. And so I just started calling people I knew and emailing them and put together a little form email. And I would send that out and follow up some, but you know, there's a lot of churches around here and I've been in this area for a long time. And so I started with people I knew and some people started hearing about us along the way. Some had joined us, but really as I sit back and look at it this past year and this network and these churches, it has absolutely just been God. I mean, it is, he's just put it together. So, and I don't mean to be trite with that, or like if someone else tries something, it's not working real well. I don't mean like God works for me and not for you. But I think if it's God's timing, I mean, this is his church. And I'm convinced. So I tend to be an inside guy. Like I like to work from with inside an organization. I'm not a like sit outside and throw stones at it. If I care about it, I want to be inside. And I love the Capital Church. I get frustrated with churches and church a lot of times, but I love the church. And I believe when what Jesus said about his church, it will unleash on earth what is unleashed in heaven, you know, and I want it to do that. And the Luke 14 picture of the banquet, like that's what Jesus intends his church to unleash of going out and bringing people from the margins, including the disabled, into the banquet. So to me, it's a vision that I don't see how a church can say no to. And we really haven't had anybody say no. They've just, the only limit is I don't have the energy to invite the whole Roanoke Valley. I mean, it's sort of, you know, I mean, I have a full-time job and so I can't, you know, spend all my time inviting them to church, but I just brought them in. And I think, I don't know, maybe somebody's quietly thinking they disagree with this, but everybody just seems to be saying, wow, we've, and again, it's not my words. It's just scripture. And it's people like Ryan Wolf has met with us and Brad Mowry from Capernaum has met with us and some other great folks. And no matter who speaks, when they speak the truth of scripture of how God has created everyone for a purpose and all parts of the body are necessary. And we're all image bearers and we can't have an incomplete picture of God by leaving out disabilities. Everybody seems to just be embracing that.
Yep.
Which tells me it's from God.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know if this was a big takeaway for you, but for me, leaving disability in the church, I left with, because I felt like we heard it over and over again, it really just comes down to theology. And so it almost gets to the point where you're like, how can a church resist this? When you sit and you share and you educate, and, you know, I know Ryan, I know Brad, I know some of the things you've shared that they're coming and sharing to these church, you know, these churches that are showing up. And it's like, you can't argue with, you know, the things Jesus said and the people he hung out with and who he spent time with. And so it's just like we heard a lot at Disability in the Church. It just comes down to our theology about people with disabilities. And so I think it's awesome and encouraging with just a little education that you feel like you're just seeing, you know, it click with these churches. And I mean, it's just such a incredible way to create change. And I think for all of us working in disability ministry, it's like, that's all you want. You just want to see change. You just want to see the church moving forward in a positive way for our friends and for their families. And I love that you figured out just a pretty simple way to do that. I love that so much. So what about the financial piece of all of this between Masterpiece and then this church network? again, I know that this isn't, you know, none of this is free. So how do you
right.
raise your funds, or who's helping you?
Yeah, I'm a model on the side, supermodel, and I. Those of y'all who are listening, you're not seeing this on YouTube or wherever it's going to be posted. Like you would ask for the joke there. Yeah. So, I mean, this is again a God thing, but like people just kind of give us money. I don't know how to say it other than that. And, wow. and I don't want someone who's maybe struggling with the ministry to raise support to feel bad when I say that. And,
yeah.
And the money's already God's. And if he chooses to give us less of it, then we'll figure out what that looks like for us. He has, you know, when COVID hit, and we just became a 501c3 nonprofit, like in late 2019. Okay. And so we were going to kind of kick off stuff in 2020. And I don't know about what happened in Cleveland, but we had this thing called COVID here in 2020.
It was, I know.
May not, did y'all hear about that up there?
We did.
Yeah. Yeah. So everything just kind of came to a grinding halt. And, but this was kind of, I don't know what date it was, but somewhere in 2020, a person in our church, they heard that we were doing something and they walked up and gave me this great big check. Like it was big, you know?
Wow.
And they said, God wants this to happen. Do it. And we didn't even know what we were doing. Like but just the idea. And so that was where I remember it hit me. Like I talked to our friends we invited who became now they're our board of directors, those friends who got together to go on the journey together. And I said, guys, we just got this check. Now we have to do something. Like it's for real. And there's just been like so many stories of that ever since then. So, you know, we've done some fundraisers like every nonprofit will do. And we're working on different types of fundraisers and our staff they'll raise some of their support. Hey, if anyone out there wants to go to masterpiecealliance.org and support us, we won't turn you down. But it's just been another journey of God just, or example of a journey where God just keeps showing his goodness and just showing that he wants to do this. And I think you mentioned the theology of disability. I think it's a little, I would take it one step up. It's the theology of what the kingdom of God looks like. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom of God, like it knows no boundaries. The kingdom of God knows no margins. The kingdom of God is bigger than we can kind of look at it. And so if we look at our churches, you know, it's been said by many smarter people than I am, but like church is the most segregated time, you know, hour in America or whatever, right? So whether it's by race or by socioeconomic status or whatever it might be. So, you know, I think the same thing applies to, for example, the homeless. And you could just kind of go on down the line of folks who are marginalized. For me, the passion is disabilities. But what I encourage folks to do is people who follow Jesus is to say, like, where does your life touch the margins? Somewhere your life encounters the margins. Is God calling you to that margin? And so for me, through school and through my own daughter and through Capernaum, my life touches the margin of disabilities.
Yeah.
And I know God wants, you know, I don't know how excited, well, God tells us lots of times he hates our worship because the things we're doing are just sort of empty worship. And, but I think God gets pretty excited when people like Romans 12 says they live, you know, they're offering their bodies as a living sacrifice, you know, and worshiping him. And so, I don't know, we've just seen God get on board and do stuff. And man, I wanted to share another encouraging story, by the way, from the church network that just came up this week.
I just found
out about this.
Please.
So one of the, so Brad came and talked about barriers and he did such a good job. Brad Mowry from Capernaum, this is a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah.
So he talked about barriers and all these different types of barriers. And so, and what it did is it empowered this one mother who's part of our network I'm going to come back to. But I got an email a few weeks ago from someone who's not part of the church network, but they heard that we exist. And this is another nonprofit, Christian nonprofit. And she said that she works with a single mother with a 10-year-old and they would like to go to church. She'd like to get them into a church, but they need a sensory room. And do I know any churches that have a sensory room? And so I turned around and just emailed our network and a whole bunch of responses came and I forwarded those responses on to her. And, but then this one mother who's a member of a church in our area and she comes to our network luncheons. And she had been empowered by hearing people like Brad talk about barriers and barriers that should be removed. And then she got that email that I sent out and she took it to her pastor. And I'm not here to say that her pastor was an obstacle, but I think like a lot of folks, hadn't thought much about how disabilities fall into the church. So she went to him and said, see this parent, they live in the same part of Roanoke as we live in, but we can't tell her that we have a sensory room. And the pastor said, "Wow, what's a sensory room?"
Yeah,
and so
yeah,
a lot of people would ask that question,
sure,
right? Like, and
absolutely.
so she shares and she tells him what it is. And then he says, "Why would we need that?" And so she begins to explain. And then the pastor said, "All right, let's do it." And so this church is designing, they've got a team together. They've designed this beautiful sensory room for the church. And Catherine's letting this mother, who is a church member, a mother who of an adult daughter with disabilities, she's part of our masterpiece community. And he is letting her run with this.
Wow.
And she's kind of finding a new purpose, right, within the church that she loves.
Yes.
This room that now I can turn back around and say, "Hey, there's a church, by the way, just down the road from where this family is that has a sensory room." And it's just like a win all around. And most importantly, it's a win kingdom, you know? And so these are the sort of stories that will happen when the church recognizes the importance of Luke 14 and of making sure that we invite the right people to the banquet.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love that. That is such a great story. I mean, honestly, it's like you said, it's just this beautiful win for so many people in that story. That is incredible. Oh, I love that so much. That's so awesome. So when you share about your friends with disabilities and the disability community, what do you tell churches or church leadership? Like, how do you explain to them what they're missing if our friends with disabilities aren't included in the local church?
Well, and your listeners should know, if they haven't heard about this story yet, that at the Disability in the Church conference, there was a little skit about this, I guess. And Christine played the person trying to start a disability ministry who had to talk to a pastor. And I don't remember what her name was, Dr. something or another.
Dr. Tom's.
Guys, y'all should have seen Christine. Yeah, Christine's doing her best. And Dr. Tom's is basically saying, like, "Shut up, we don't want this." And, but at the end, Dr. Tom told you to call her by her first name. That was great. But I think it's important what that little skit that you were in, that was part of a breakout session you and I both attended, and it was about talking to church leadership. And I think it is important to think, how do we communicate to church leadership? And I think we, you know, for me, when I have talked to folks, and sometimes I have a long period of time, sometimes it's very short, but I try to come down to the key, which is like, is everybody a masterpiece or are they not all masterpieces? Mm. And if they are all masterpieces, like, we can't leave any of them out. And so just a little bit of data, a little bit of statistics, just, you know, I don't think there's any pastor or any church leader anywhere who thinks that, like, enough people go to church, right? Like, that's an easy thing for everyone to agree on. Not enough people are part of churches.
Yep.
And then if the disability community is significantly below that, then we know we have a problem, because it should just be the same, right? Like, if 50% of people go to churches, then 50% of people with disabilities go to churches. It should just be the same. But when there's a gap, that's when you know there's something else wrong going on there. So if it's already too low, then if it's lower for disabilities, then what's going on? And then when you start, you know, I don't know how often people look at Luke 14 and the story of the banquet and really realize Jesus says, "You have to do this." Like, it's not like a, wouldn't it be nice if the church did? He is saying, this is what you must do. Is don't just invite your friends and the people like you. Go out and then bring people in. So, like, it's just, I mean, I don't want to go at somebody with an argument perspective, but I don't really know how there's an argument against Jesus said you must do this, you know? And so what I have found is with most of the people I speak to, they're either already there and they just want to be encouraged in it, or they are in that phase of ignorance. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean it more factual. Like, they're just not aware.
Yep.
And once they become aware, it's not hard to be like, "Oh yeah, like, let's, this can't be."
So real quick, do you feel in your experience, because obviously you're working with more churches than most disability ministries are working with. I mean, easily, if you're working with and in communication with 25 churches, That's exceptional. That's a lot. That's a lot. So, I mean, do you feel at the root of it when you started to have these churches come in, like to your first church network luncheon, or the first couple, let's say, is the biggest hindrance really, truly just ignorance? And again, that's not a knock or a slam. I'm just asking, is it truly that they really are just kind of ignorant about where people with disabilities fit in the church, or that they're even not present in the church? Is that what you feel like most are coming with? Or
yeah, I mean, I don't know if any of the members of our church network will listen to this. I don't want to be you to hear me calling you ignorant.
No, it's
you know what I mean. It's not. It sounds like such a mean word, right? But that's not what we mean. Just unaware of a need. Yeah.
Yes.
And you can't know until you know. And so, in our area, go ahead.
I was just going to say it kind of goes back to, and I'll post this in the show notes for the listeners, but it kind of goes back to the five stages. Which is a document that was written. This is going to test me. You'll have to help me if you have it memorized, but it goes through the five stages of like understanding and accepting disability. And the first stage is ignorance. And so again, that isn't a slam. That isn't, I mean, disability is now a part of your story. Disability is now a part of my story. I mean, if I didn't become a 18-year-old teen mom with a kid with a disability, I could have cared less about people with disabilities. I was 100% ignorant about disabilities. So we all had a season of life or a stage in life, even us in ministry, that we were completely ignorant as well. But the five stages goes through. I'm actually going to go from ignorance is the first stage. The fifth stage is co-laborers. Yes.
You go ignorance.
Friendship before that. Sorry.
There we go. Ready? It goes ignorant. And then we become aware. We move to pity.
Yes.
Right. So pity is when you realize there's an issue. And so now you're like, oh, I feel bad for that person. So, that poor person, you know. Yeah. And then once you become aware of, through the pity phase, you realize the needs they have, then you can move into a caring phase where now you're caring for needs. And that's not a bad place to be in. It's better than not caring. It's better than ignorance.
Sure.
But once you start to care for someone's needs and you get to know them, then that leads into friendship.
Yep.
And I was actually sharing this with some pastor friends not long ago. And then the one pastor said, you know, I would have thought friendship was the top.
Yeah. Because
isn't that great? Right?
Yes.
Like we're just truly friends.
Yes.
But no, there's one more step, and that is co-laboring. And that's Ephesians 2:10. It's when folks with disabilities, they live into a purpose, right?
Yep.
And they are alongside of us. It's not I'm doing it takes away the hierarchy, right? So I'm not above you because I don't have a disability. Or let's face it, we all just hide. Some of us just hide our disabilities better than others do. So instead, we are together on mission together. We have purpose together. We are with. And so that we have shared that at every single luncheon. So we've built on this progression of ideas, but we always loop back. Every time we have a luncheon, we go back and hit where we've come from because the brain has to operate that way. And we have new people along the way too. But that concept of our goal, we've told the churches is we're not telling you have to start a disability ministry, although that'd be great. But not every church needs a formalized ministry. And the churches we have range from Catholic to Methodist to Assemblies of God to Anglican to all shades of Baptist to non-denominational. Wow. There's all sorts of groups, you know, Church of Christ, Church of God. I'm missing some in there, but there's a whole bunch of them. And so they're all going to look different, right? They're all little different flavors of the kingdom. And so we want to make sure they realize we're not saying that, hey, guys, we've got some answer for you other than you need people with disabilities in your church. They need to feel like they belong. We must erase barriers, perceived or real. Yep. And then when folks with disabilities are there, it's not just so you can like be kind to them. It's so they can actually live into the purpose that Christ has for them. And that might be in your church or through your church or from your church or empowered by your church or encouraged by your church. And so that I have found pastors to really get that. Like it just, and not just pastors, but lay people as well. It really resonates. It's like, oh yeah. And I just never thought about it. So the word ignorant just simply means you don't know that yet. You know, it's just not something you know, but thankfully And this has been, I think, I don't know how I'd feel right now if I had experienced something different. But what I'm seeing is that the church, when it's really made aware in a loving way, is all on board.
Yeah.
And say, what can we do? What's the next step? Tell us what to do.
Yes. I love that. I mean, that I think is so encouraging to know it's really just a knowledge deficit. It's really just providing the data, the statistics, the, you know, the personal stories of why this is needed, why we have to be places of belonging, and then just watching the church rise up to be exactly what Christ has called us to be. And I mean, it's just, I get so excited because it can be so beautiful. And I think that's like, for me, like hearing that statistic from Eric Carter at Disability in the Church, that 1 in 3 families is leaving their church because they felt that their child wasn't welcomed or included or belonged.
Right.
Isn't it just crazy to think like there is such a, and again, I don't want to oversimplify it, but truly it's like, it just comes down to education and creating that awareness. So then it almost becomes like there's such a simple solution to getting churches to go from being places that families with disabilities are kind of leaving to then these churches being equipped and empowered. And like you said, just the way that they're going to manifest that so differently in their different denominations and their different traditions, right? In their own ways, but just creating that awareness and giving them the tools to create change. I mean, I get so excited because I see how beautiful and how it can just change everything again, with just something so simple, but so profound, like with what you're doing. I mean, I think it's just incredible. So I love that. I love that. And I'm so excited to try to get something like that started here and just see what God's
doing. I think the time is right too. You know, growing up in my schooling, I had no connection to disabilities and I don't think I was a very empathetic person as a teenager either. I don't know, maybe a lot of teenage boys are not, but I definitely have, wish I was a little different as a teenager, but when it comes to disabilities, we didn't even see a lot of folks with disabilities. You know, just the way the public schools worked, there was a lot of kind of isolation, right, and separation. And so I think these days, like I think about the school where I worked for 26 years until this year, and I was the principal or a principal and assistant principal there for 19 of those years. And, you know, we had things like when the Special Olympics came along and our team went, the entire school went out front, you know, and the band would play and the cheers would cheer and the buses would take them. It was like this big deal. Or we had a Be a Buddy Club basketball game in the spring as a pep rally where folks with disabilities and students without disabilities would play together. And the whole school, I mean, it was like the best pep rally, hands down, everyone cheered. So those sort of things are way more common. And so I think, I wish we could say that in all ways of the kingdom, the church led culture, but as long as we get there, it's okay. It doesn't matter who gets the credit, but I think that schools and in the greater secular society have kind of really put a dent and impact things like, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Individual Disability Education Act, these have changed the way people are growing up. So I feel like there's probably a generation that we're in right now and that's coming behind us that it's not unusual. And so to be around folks with disabilities. And so then when you point out like, but they're not in church, like, whoa, why aren't they in church? I'm with them in school. Why aren't they in church? And so I would like to think that maybe the ground is getting tilled. And so it's time for the followers of Christ to really step in there and plant seeds and let the Holy Spirit water them and see what happens with the world of disabilities. And God can do great things through the church. He can also use public schools and he can also use, you know, everybody to do his will. So.
Yeah. Well, and there's definitely, you know, this, like for our Capernaum Club over the years, we've had a lot of non-Christian kids come serve as buddies. And I love that. I feel like it's ministry to them just as much as it is to our friends. But I would say, like, to your point, you know, these kids are growing up together in a totally different way than how you grew up. I grew up in public school. And then there's also this cultural shift where everything is kindness and diversity and equity. And so this generation is also this generation that has eyes to see. I mean, some of the most secular kids still has eyes to see the marginalized, sometimes better than Christians do. And I think that is also really cool, because I have seen our friends with disabilities, like in Capernaum Club, be a place and be people that create a place of belonging for these teenagers without disabilities to come and feel included. And that's just been incredible to watch, where, you know, we had, for example, the quarterback of the football team coming to our Capernaum Club. And I'm looking at this and going, this is probably a relief to him that he can walk into Capernaum Club and just let his guard down, right? Let down everything that he has to be, you know, 5 days a week, 6 days a week as a teenager that, you know, is popular and always in the spotlight, right? And so I think there's something to be said about even the way that God uses our friends to just also reach lost people and just change their hearts and change their whole worldview. And I know we probably both have a gazillion stories of watching lives change just by coming alongside our friends with disabilities and the way God uses them. So anyways, I always try to say stuff like that, because I just want people to be encouraged that I think this generation is a generation we should be inviting in to some degree, because I think these kids just, they just see things differently than we do and we did.
And you know, to kind of take maybe another step further with that, like, so we talk about folks with disabilities also having purpose, kingdom purpose.
Yep.
It's not just that they're going to do the same thing that you and I do, just a little slower or something like that. Like, they actually bring a different skill set. And I realize folks with disabilities are just as diverse as all of us. So I'm not trying to say that everyone with a disability has the same skill set. But there is a skill set that is often brought to the table by folks with intellectual or developmental disabilities that you and I don't bring. Yeah. And it is important that, like, the image of God is incomplete. And what it is, and I'll probably start crying when I talk about it here, but I get kind of emotional with this. But, you know, I'm going to go back to Genesis. We were created by God in the garden, totally naked, right? Like, that's how we were made. There was to be no pretense. We were to live just sort of buck naked with each other and God. And the moment sin entered the world, the immediate thing was shame about our bodies, about who we are, about our identity, and the need to cover up, both figuratively and literally, with clothes. And so our whole lives are spent covering up. And you mentioned the relief that a teenage boy might feel going to a Capernaum Club. Yeah. And what happens is, when you walk into a place where there is relationship with folks with disabilities, whether that's individual or a big group like Capernaum or Masterpiece Alliance Club, it is butt naked. Right? I mean, there is no pretense. Nobody cares how cool you are. If you have hair, by the way, for your listeners, I have no hair. They don't care, you know, how athletic you are, how funny you are, how smart you are, how rich you are. Nothing. Like, there's no better place to go after a bad day at work than Capernaum Club or Masterpiece Alliance Club, because you walk in and it all goes away. And that's what I felt that first time I went to club with my daughter after she went to camp. I felt butt naked, and it felt good, because that's how we're meant to be. Just for the record, we have clothes on at Capernaum, right? We actually have clothes, but we are supposed to feel free. God did not make us to feel burdened and shame and so forth. We were meant to be free. And I tell you, the world of disabilities brings to the world of the non-disabled the opportunity to experience what the kingdom of God feels like, the freedom. My son, who's 15, his best friend is his age. He's the son of one of the folks who's on our board for Masterpiece Alliance, and his name is Luke. And Luke is on the autism spectrum. They've been best buddies since young elementary school, and they're truly, truly friends. This is not my son being kind or caring to somebody else. They are truly friends, and they both bring something to the table. And Luke's father will say things to me, because he appreciates my son being his son's friend, things like, I love your son. I love Matthew. I'm so thankful for Matthew. And I like hearing that as a dad. And I like Matthew too. Matthew's a pretty good guy, right?
Yes.
But finally one day I said to my friend Tad, I said, Tad, you got to understand something. Like, what you're telling me is Luke needs Matthew, and that's great. But you got to understand, Matthew needs Luke, because 15-year-old boys, and again, I love my son. So if he listens to this, son, I love you. but you're a 15-year-old boy. You're difficult, you know?
Yes,
like, it's just part of life. I was there once upon a time, too, and I'm trying to grow out of it. But it's – and when my son is with Luke, it's like all those things that 15-year-olds do, the lingo, the whatever you got to do to be cool, the insecurity that maybe comes, it just goes away. And he's just butt naked, you know, just wild and free and fun, and nothing else matters. And so I think if the church – doesn't get it, like doesn't invite in the disabled, doesn't intentionally make sure that folks with disabilities are at the banquet table, we're missing such an important gift of really experiencing an aspect of the kingdom that you won't really experience anywhere else. Yes. And it's just beautiful.
Oh, so well said. I mean, it's so true that it's like these people, I mean, they are as much of evangelists as anyone else, you know, leading people to Christ. I mean, just, it's amazing what we are missing if they're missing. And I think that's the coolest way to look at it. And praise God that, you know, our stories are different because of our friends, you know, that our lives have been changed because of our friends. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. I always look at it like it's such a gift that God took me from that ignorance phase to, you know, just kind of rocked my world with disability, but he opened my eyes and my heart to this whole world that I'm like, I would have missed it. I would have missed it. It's so easy to miss. And, you know, you just are so in awe of like, wow, we get to be a part of something so cool. So I guess probably a good question to wrap up with, maybe what you just shared is going to be your answer. So it can be. How has this changed you the most? How has just serving alongside, loving, having true friendships with people with disabilities, how has that just changed you and just impacted you the most?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. There's probably a lot of little answers. Like I could give an example of this, example of that. And definitely that what I was saying about just feeling free within the world of disabilities, like the friendships I have are so true and genuine and loving. That's definitely a piece of it. I think the bigger piece that goes even beyond that is like, we just, and I sort of referenced this before, I suppose, but like Ephesians 2:10, why were we created anew? So we can do something. There's something that's supposed to be done and we need to live into that. And God knows what it is. He planned it for us. It's been pre-known, pre-purposed, pre-written, and we our job is to step into following him. But we all need a place to do that, right? And so, you know, for our family, deciding to live a great story, deciding to and the cool thing about our lives is we get to write that story, right? We get to it's not just happenstance. We can make decisions to follow where God leads, and we can make decisions of what we do. And so for us, it has been an exercise in trusting God. It's been an exercise of not just playing church, not just trying to be moral. Like I heard someone give a sermon today where it says lots of times as Christians, we worship the rules over the rule maker, you know? And I think a lot of times in our faith, we Americanize our faith to become like, hey, if my kid's playing on a good soccer team and my bank account's pretty good, I've got a good retirement set up, my neighborhood's nice, you know, the sin that we have, we keep it hidden enough that people don't judge us. Like everything's kind of good, you know? And that's just not why Jesus came and died, right? Jesus came to show us what it looks like, how God intended life to be. Yeah. So when God becomes a man, this is what life looks like, right? Yep. And it is giving your life away. So for us, I'm not saying it's all roses. Like there's never time we're tired or never time it's like, I just want to go to sleep or whatever. But the opportunity to just step into something that is so God ordained has been life changing for our family. And then the benefit, the side benefit is we get loved in return. Like we're stepping into what I feel is like the most life giving place. So we're living our lives and learning to live our lives, learning to give our lives away the way Christ would ask us to. And then in return, we get like to live life the way it's supposed to be lived and loved unconditionally by awesome people. Like, what a win all the way around for our family. And, you know, for folks out there who are listening, who have a family, have kids, and you're thinking about, you know, the journey with your children, just please don't overlook the role we have to help our kids find a great story. Yes, we want them to know Jesus and to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior and be plugged into a church. Absolutely. But it goes so far beyond that. And so, you know, maybe a family out there might be thinking, like, well, what could I do to get my family on a story? Hey, see if your local Young Life area has Capernaum, you know, see if there's something along the lines of disabilities in your community and take your family on that journey. You will learn to live your, give your life away, which you were made to do. And then it's going to be, you're going to get love in return. Like, you're going to get loved like you've never been loved before. And, and what a win for anybody, but especially I think for a family to go on that journey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of funny how in the world of disability ministry, and you kind of hear this said largely in general statements of like, you'll never regret following Christ, right? But I'm going to add to that, that you never hear people say they ever regret coming alongside people with disabilities and serving them, because it is like one of the greatest experiences you can have in your life is to have true friendship and true community with people with disabilities. And I think that's so cool. And, you know, you've probably heard this a million times from people who've served with you or you've served with in Capernaum, where, you know, it's usually people's stories are, okay, I signed up to do this, to give back, to serve, but I got so much more out of this, right? Right. Isn't that the story you just hear over and over again? And, and I love that. I love that because it really is, just God's blessing of following him, like you said, into the margins and loving the people he loved and just giving our lives away. I mean, you can't say it better than that. So one last thing, I know I said last time, one last thing, but I just would love for you to say, what is, because obviously you are a driven person, you do have good ideas and you are following God's lead in your life as you have your hands on all these different things. And sometimes these big ideas for people can feel overwhelming that then you just kind of do nothing. So is maybe a word of encouragement you have for someone listening who's like, I want to do something. I want to do something meaningful. I want to be a part of something amazing like this. Or do you have maybe just a word of encouragement on how to get started or how to just maybe make that first step?
Sure. Yeah, because I think, you know, and again, not that we've done so much, but it can sound like, well, I don't want, how do I start a 501c3? And these sort of things seem daunting or whatever. No, I think it's just realize that the Jesus we follow told people, come follow me and let's go love the margins. So what I would encourage folks to do is to pray and ask God to give them the eyes to see the margins. Mm. Because some, and that margin might be one person, it might be a people group, it might be a neighborhood, it might be it could be anything, right? But like, where is the margin? Your life touches the margins somewhere. And so just ask God to give you the eyes to see the margins and give you the boldness to step into it and ask him just to open the door into that margin, you know? Ask him to open the door for the conversation or for the hanging out or the whatever it looks like, depending on what that margin is. And just start there. Just start with where your life touches the margins and just know that God might have a bigger plan down the road. But like that right there would be a great starting point. Just love the margin that God's given you.
Yeah, I love that. To kind of your point that I feel like we've said a couple times on this episode, like disability is what your passion is. Disability is what my passion is. Someone else's margins can look totally different. It could be teen moms. It could be youth at risk. It could be the homeless, like you said. I mean, but either way, I love just that generalization of the margins and going and praying and asking God to give you eyes to see those who are marginalized.
Yeah, and one other step in there is invite a friend to do it with you, you know, like in, because really we were made to be in communion with God. We were made to be in community with others and we were made to be on mission. And so like invite a friend, like I didn't know how this was going to play out, but if I look back and say, what's a really smart decision that Hot Julie and I made, it was to invite the Lakens and the DeBoards and the Elders and the Fishers on a journey with us. Like we couldn't have done it on our own, but we didn't know where the journey was going. It was really an invitation to let's just do something. And then God sort of opened up what something was after that.
Yeah. I would say this, and I'm guessing you would agree with this. And I know those are people who were, you said, were friends of yours that it was like, hey, let's have dinner. And you just kind of casted this vision, right? I think when we're following Jesus, and we're living life on with a purpose and on purpose, it takes risk. I mean, it 100% sure. takes risk. Oh, yeah. It takes inviting people in and knowing they could look at you and go, I don't want any part of that. And that doesn't mean it's not God's will. It doesn't mean that you're far off target from what God wants. It just means right. you have to keep persevering. You have to keep persevering, yeah. right? And a no now might be a yes later, but like you have that's to right. take risks and put yourself out there. And yeah, I mean, that's something I would say we've learned is just invite. And you know, sometimes people are going to say no, but there's going to be people who say yes and join you in that mission. And and that's like the coolest thing, to be on a mission with people. So I love that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, can I pray for you and your ministry? And okay, oh, I would love that. To. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Jesus, thank you so much for Scott and for Julie, for their family, Lord. I thank you for those couples that he mentioned that sat around that dinner table and heard his vision, heard his heart, and joined them in this mission. And I just thank you for what you're doing through his faithfulness to serve you and the way that you've just given him and Julie just eyes to see the marginalized, Lord, and to see people with disabilities and to find ways to equip churches. And I thank you for just his leadership, for his example. I thank you for just the fun personalities that they both have that you've given them, Lord, that are so engaging and just draw people into their story and to their triumphs and victories. And I just pray you just give them strength, Lord, and endurance, because we know that this journey isn't always easy and that there's a lot of pieces and parts and fundraising and all the different things that come with doing ministry that can be hard, Lord. And I just pray that you just keep giving them everything they need to keep living their lives to the fullest and serving you, Lord. And again, I just thank you. I thank you for the wisdom that Scott has with so many years of just serving others and serving in Young Life and now Masterpiece Alliance. And just thank you for everything he shared with us today. And I just pray that it just touches the hearts of every person listening, Lord, that there's at least one or two things that people could take away from this, if not more, and just also figure out how to live life on purpose and lay down our lives for people who need to know you, Jesus. And so we thank you that you loved us first, and thank you that we get to love you and serve others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming on. I loved getting to just have you on. We appreciate your time, and it was so fun to get to be with you and give Julie my love. And just again, great getting to know you guys and getting to serve alongside you guys to our friends with disabilities. Yeah.
Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, it was great. All right, guys, take care. And I will see you next time on Invited In. Friends, thanks so much for joining me today. Please remember to subscribe, leave a rating and a review, and visit ChristineBoyle.com to have me speak at your next event. Take care, guys.